Welcome to another week of the podcast.
Hi, Rachel.
Thrasher Opera House presents once again.
Here we are.
So, Riley, I wanted to ask you, and I think a lot of people have been wanting to know, what's your most, what is a tech success at Thrasher that you've had and a tech fail? Like your best tech day and your worst tech day when it came to a Thrasher show. You can start with the best or the worst.
We'll save the best one. The worst one was probably after a sound check for one of our more prominent artists, and the house is full and the show starts, and suddenly there was an issue. There was a distortion issue with the guitar player's input. And
was I here for this one?
I don't know if you were or not, but the house was full and the show had to stop, and I had to run up on stage and check a thing, and that wasn't it. So I had to run back to stage and check another thing. And
meanwhile, the audience is like just drinking their drinks, and everybody who works here is like armpits are sweating, freaking out.
And the star is really helping a lot by maintaining some patter and just talking to the crowd while it works.
Oh, that's
so the star was extremely helpful.
Good.
And it turned out that the star's guitar was not fully plugged into the guitar's pedal board after he'd brought it up from backstage at the start of the show. So
relatively easy fix.
After some tension and a full house of people waiting, it worked, and that was great.
You know, and if I was here for that, number one, I don't remember that even being a big deal.
Okay.
And I bet the audience probably is like me, like, oh, that happened. I already forgot about it. On with the show.
It might have been shorter than I thought, but I'll tell you.
It feels like a million years.
Oh, it was a long, long time. And the good part about it was that at intermission, some person that I'd never met that was in the audience went out of his way to talk to me and tell me that we'd handled it well and that it could have been a lot worse. And that felt good.
That's great. Yeah, because stuff like that happens. It's rare, but it does. And it kind of all depends on how you react to it. Like, you could freak out and, you know, but you just got to handle it. Sounds like you did.
Right. Sort of pull the shades down like lizard eyes and just go about the job.
Right. Well, gosh, for a bad experience, that really doesn't seem that bad. But
oh, it was pretty bad.
I thought you were going to talk about the time that the circuit tripped.
It was the same show. Oh. That's how that show ended.
Okay.
After everything was, we'd put that in the background and everything was going along just fine.
Your heart rate finally came down.
Right. And I had a plan for the mix. The whole, you know, I'd saved up some headroom, some loudness, so that at the end of the show, we could really gas it and give people some stuff. And we were there, and the glorious ending was pop.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was not there for that show. I had a wedding to go to, but I definitely heard about that part.
Same show.
See, I never heard about the first thing because the last thing was a bigger deal.
I know. And even that had some little bit of silver lining because a friend of mine was there watching the show, and he saw me kind of flipping out, and he said, don't worry about it. People are going to get on Facebook and say, it was so awesome, they blew up the PA. And, you know, he was right.
That's good. There you go.
So
at least that both were in the same show, right?
Oh, boy.
I mean, I don't know, good or bad.
That was really something. The success part was another artist that hadn't ever been here before, but the advance from agency was that this person liked the vocal monitors really loud.
This is a different artist.
This is a different artist.
Different
this is,
show.
This is a success side.
Oh, okay. So we went from the worst thing.
We've talked about the worst.
Now we're on to the best. Oh, good. Okay,
right.
Great.
So here's the best one. And the agency and the advance was that this artist liked the monitors really loud.
I know who this is already.
And so I didn't know exactly what to do, and I sort of created a hybrid monitor rig and had a friend come and help me out up at the board while I rang everything out the day before the show, and I made them pretty loud.
Yeah.
And
it's a small room.
And then
it gets loud in there.
And then the next day when they came in, the way that the band checked, the band was up and did all their things, and then the star came up to do the star thing in front of the monitors, and the person walked up and said something into the microphone and looked around and said, "This'll do."
Oh, how about that?
It was great.
Again, what people don't know about behind the scenes is like how much thought goes into making everything look easy and seem easy and be easy when folks are up on that stage.
Sure.
That's our job.
It is. That is the job.
Was that Robin Ford? No.
No, Robin Ford had...
That I remember him wanting things very loud. That's who I thought you were going to say.
He wanted things very loud. Melissa, I think, was the woman's name who was his sound tech.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she was great.
Small but scrappy.
She was great. She did a fantastic job. She was nice. Yeah, it was fun working with her.
Yeah, it was a good show, too.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, thanks. I'm sure there's lots of other tech stories we can tell, but let's just stick with that for this week.
Well, that's enough for today.
Yeah. You know, we've got a band coming up on the 25th, Dervish.
Dervish.
Coming all the way from Ireland. I was able to sit down and talk with Kathy the other day, and shall we have a listen?
Let's.
Good morning, folks. Today I am joined with Kathy from the band Dervish, who will be joining us at Thrasher on February 25th for the fourth time. We're excited to have you guys back for the fourth time here at Thrasher.
And we are very excited too, particularly because it's been so long since we've been to the US. The last time we had to run scared out of the country, and the whole world went into lockdown, and it was a scary time, and we didn't think we'd ever reach this point. And it's just so fantastic that normal life is resuming again, and we can do what we love and play some music in front of people that appreciate it.
Man, and we're feeling especially lucky because Thrasher is the first stop on your US tour. So
yes, well, hopefully nothing goes wrong with the flights then. Yeah, it's great. I have great memories of the Thrasher, and I love what you've done with the place. I can see your studio there that you're sitting in, and you're innovating all the time, and you're doing the best for the music that you present, and that's a really great thing for all of us artists. And we thank you for that.
Well, and thank you for what you do to bring music into this world. I mean, that's Thrasher's biggest mission, is presenting live music, bringing people together through live music. And one of the genres that we love to present the most is Irish music. We have a huge fan base of Irish music lovers here in Wisconsin. So I know they're really looking forward to your show. And Dervish is one of the icons of Irish music. So we're just so fortunate to be bringing that to this small 200 seat theater. Folks are really excited. And for those of you who don't know who Dervish is, the band really takes traditional Irish music, and I would say takes it to the next level. But maybe I'll let you explain sort of the band's philosophy and what you do.
Well, first of all, thanks for the lovely compliments. I guess when you hang around long enough and play music that you love for long enough, the people are bound, you're bound to get a fan base. And you know, as you get older, you realize that you're the oldest kids on the block in terms of playing the music, and you know, being a band that tours. So anyway, the music is we just absolutely adore it. It's what we live and breathe. It's what we grow up with. It's what is handed down to us. It's what we hopefully can hand down to others. It's a moving, living, breathing entity. It's like a river flowing, and we, you know, add to that river that's flowing by taking some of the tunes and arranging them in a particular way that we find that we like and we find best represents how one tune goes into another tune, and it kind of the music is allowed to breathe from one tune to the next, and then add the backing, particularly of the backing of the bouzouki and mandola, which, you know, is an ever evolving kind of tradition that is it's a young tradition. It only really started in the 50s, and it's ever evolving and finding its feet, and that which allows for its expansion and people to delve into you know, just experimenting with what can be done and what chords would enhance the tunes and the music, and what particular rhythms and that might enhance. And so there's all that can be worked on. And I guess we have our own particular stamp and style of doing things. And we gather the tunes, the flute, fiddle and accordion would gather the tunes first, and they would assemble them in a way that they like. And then they bring them to the backers and myself. And we might say, well, you know, that D goes better after A than A goes after D, perhaps in this particular selection. And, you know, we thrash it out that way, and we kind of, you know, start with the last one, and start with the middle one, and start with the first one, see which combination we like better, and, you know, put the back into it, and eventually we come to a conclusion of that we're happy with, and that's how we end up then with an arranged set. And the songs then are something that I would work on first, and then evolve to a certain level, and then bring to the backers, and then after that it goes to the rest of the band. So we have our little ways of doing things that have, you know, have been good to us.
Well, one thing I remember from watching your past performances is that you are such a great storyteller on stage. And it seems like every Irish song has a story to it, whether it has lyrics or not, which I find fascinating. You can have a completely instrumental song that is telling a story, and you do an excellent job of sort of leading the audience through that journey. That's, I think that's something that
Thank the audience you.
Can look forward to from a Derby.
Well, so. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of tunes and songs that are very tongue in cheek and show a kind of a cheeky kind of humor. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, the Irish tune, there's no lyrics, of course, but it's called "I Buried My Wife and Danced on Top of Her." And yeah. some might perceive that to be quite misogynistic, but you know, I wouldn't see it that way so much as kind of, there's probably another tune that, you know, where she buries the husband. It's a kind of a tit for tat, tongue in cheek kind of humors that I wouldn't pass much heed on.
So going along with the tradition, you guys released an album that I listened to it this morning, actually, The Great Irish Songbook. Mm-hmm. Will you be playing any tunes from that album at the show at Thrasher?
Oh, of course, of course. It's our most recent studio album, and we had the privilege of being joined on it by some fantastic guests like Vince Gill and Steve Earle and Jamie Johnson and the Steel Drivers and Rhiannon Giddens and so on and so forth, Imelda May here in Ireland, and David Gray, of course, international star. And it just was a testimony to how much Irish songs are loved throughout the world. And so of course we'll be doing songs from that. We probably won't have Steve Earle or David Gray or Vince Gill on board on the night of the Thrasher, but we can sing them. They're so loved by all, both band and audience will be singing them together.
Absolutely. Yes. There's something about Irish music like that just hits you in the soul, and whether you know the song or you don't know the song, it feels familiar and it just feels really good to listen to. And I think that's why people are so drawn to it from around the world. Very much.
Yes. So and you're correct. I think it does connect with the soul, because whether it's an uplifting set of tunes that make you joyous and want to dance, or a really sad lament that would make you cry, these are emotions that are very touched when we hear the music, and it's a powerful thing to have that depth in the eight notes that we use, and the combination of them and how they're used. It's quite amazing, the depth of emotion that's in the music.
Yeah, you make a great point that during one concert, you'll experience all of the emotions. For live music in general, that's why I think humans love it so much and are attracted to it so much. But Irish music indefinitely embodies all those emotions, for sure.
Yeah, it's a kind of a roller coaster of feelings throughout a concert. But we always leave you on the high, energetic, happy place. We would never leave you in a sad, mournful place. We'd have to take you out of there before we leave. So wait till the end.
As always, we will leave some room for dancing, because I don't know about anyone else out there, but it's hard for me to sit still during a dervish concert.
Me too. Even I'm sitting, but I'm not sitting still. Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally allowed at the Thrasher to get up and move a little bit.
Super.
And so for folks who are still looking for tickets, you can get them at our website, thrasheroperahouse.com. Kathy, is there anything else you'd like to share with folks about the show on the 25th?
Well, only how excited. This will be our first stateside gig in 2 years. We've been through an awful lot. We've been through worry and pain and anguish and suffering and bewilderment and fear and all those emotions. And now I think it's for high time we shed them all, left them at the door, and get out and enjoy ourselves. And whatever way we can do that, whether it's with Irish music or whatever music, do it, because those musicians and artists have been so good to people, keeping the lifeline going all through COVID and the pandemic. And now they need your support. If you can at all, come to live shows again. It's been a barren desert for musicians and to try and earn money the last couple of years. So we're back. So support us.
Absolutely. Every show's a gift, and we are certainly looking forward to this one. Thank you.
Me too.
Thank you so
much. You're welcome. Thank you, Rachel.
Take care.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
So Riley, Dervish has been here a few times, so you've mixed for them before. What can we look forward to?
Well, you can look forward to people who play with a lot of subtlety and a lot of nuance.
Would it be fair to say that Dervish puts a lot of focus into the tradition of Irish music, therefore they put a lot of thought and focus into how they play the music?
I think that's a good way to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of attention to detail. You can tell that
they've been doing it forever.
They've been doing it forever, but they're not going through the motions. They're right. Fully involved in the moment.
And they truly love what they do. Song.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great show every time. I mean, every time we we have them. Tickets just fly off the shelves, even though tickets aren't on the shelves anymore. They're digital. Thanks, pandemic.
The little tickets with their little wings flying off the shelves.
Well, we're really looking forward to Dervish, and I'm sure everybody listening enjoyed that interview. Hope to see you at the show. And then it becomes March, and we have something completely different. We're bringing Gangsta Grass here to the Thrasher Opera House.
That will be something completely different.
I don't think we've ever had hip-hop on the stage, and this is hip-hop plus bluegrass.
A banjo hip-hop band.
Yeah, yeah, and it goes really well together. So I think we'll leave folks with that. Just Google some Gangsta Grass, and we'll see you next week.